Okay, right. So as a church, we have four guiding visionary principles, that we are an apostolic resource, and that's a bigger picture mandate for a Joshua generation, for raising up that Joshua generation to serve people around the world. Our whole purpose is to help each other live in and live out the manifest presence of God. That means to engage in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of heaven, and live that out in this realm. And our vision really is to help people find and fulfill their destinies. So if you have a destiny from God, which God has given every single person, he actually wants each person to find that destiny and fulfill that destiny in their life. And so many people are wondering, why am I here? When the reality is their destiny has been given by God to know why they're here, and what they're called to do. And we have five freedom statements as well. Free to know God. Free to see who God destined us to be, free to be who God created us to be, free to do what God has prepared us for us to do, free to go where God has destined us to go. And our whole ethos is to remove all the bondages and restrictions that stop people being free so that we can actually find what our destiny is. Sons of Issachar is a title that's been prophetically given to us by several people, 1 Chronicles 12:32. Of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with the knowledge of what Israel should do. So there's a sense of understanding the prophetic times and seasons and being aware of what you should do with them. And 1 Chronicles 7:5 says, their relatives among all the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor. And being forerunners, which means you go before, you need some fight in you to be able to take the ground. And let's say what God has called us to do is not easy, and we have to push through. We are operating according to prophetic timetable, and I believe that we are going from this time of gathering and removing of stumbling blocks in us, around us, and moving us into this time where the judgment is coming for the house of God. Now, don't think judgment, oh no, punishment. Think judgment, oh God is making a verdict and a decision, and he's deciding what is going to be and what he's going to call his people and who he isn't. And that's what we're coming into. So over the last 4 years, we've been connected to the four faces of God, and we've had particular aspects of that. 2010 was the eagle. In the whole thing of prophetic revelation was open when I went into the fast and opened up the realms of heaven. 2011 was the lion, that kingly destiny, our scroll was revealed. 2012 was all about transformation, the ox, about the prophetic calling us into our destiny and transforming us. 2013, the man, priestly function, the alignment and agreement between heaven and earth. That was a really difficult year. Where we had this fight between the apostolic and the pastoral and how government was going to be brought. 2014, last year, the eagle, about the apostolic blueprints of government being revealed. And next year, we're going to go into the lion again, which should be good fun. I'm not going to share that today because it's just a review of last year. What did God say in 2013? Well, some of that is what I shared at the beginning of last year. And there's a whole series on the website you can listen to. I've retitled it Ecclesia Arising, but it's available for the church to look at. And is, I think it was sort of 10, 12 sessions that we did at the beginning of last year, which brought into what 2013 was leading us into 2014. So what did God say in 2014? What has God said for next year? We need to obviously look at that in the future. Where are we now prophetically? You know, in God's timetable, where are we? What does God want us to do in 2015? It will be depending on whether we've been obedient in 2014 that we will be able to do that or not. And where does God want us to go? As a church, we have a wider apostolic ministry, and we're called to be a Joshua generation and to have our inheritance in his kingdom. And we're called to raise up and equip the harvesting generation that's coming in the supernatural ways of our inheritance in the kingdom of God. And that is going to be the defining point, what God is going to look at people and say, are they operating in the realms of heaven, or are they just operating on the realms of earth? and God is going to recognize those things on earth that look like heaven. In 2013, Mike Bryant had a vision. He came on a Sunday morning, gave us a vision where he stepped into heaven and he shared various things. And basically he said that God was going to do a new thing, and there's some old rotting fruit on the tree must fall before a new book and a new season can begin. And really that was what we were looking at last, the beginning of last year. Okay, what is that fruit? How does it fall so we can enter into a new season and open up new books? And it took several months to get to the point where that got sorted out. But we need to open that book. That black book was a new season, and it was interesting that God said, he said, I am going to shake the tree violently to remove you into a new season where the new book will be open, new chapters, new pages will be revealed and initiated. So it was a bit of a shaking time early in last year, because God was shaking things free so that we could come into something new. Transition is always a tough time. It's when the old stops working before the new is fully established, which is never easy. And that's why you have to be willing to be forerunners, to push through that difficult time to embrace what God is going to do in the future. And there was some tension at the beginning of the year. But when that tension lifted, everything basically began to open up. So I sort of went on to my throne in the realms of heaven. An angel came with the scroll and with this big black book, and I opened it and saw some things, saw the apostolic blueprint, saw seven mountains and thrones on another page. On another page, saw access to wisdom where paths meet. So I've been looking to pursue that, and we've been looking to pursue outworking that blueprint, establishing our seven mountains, and looking to engage wisdom and go deeper into the things of God. And God said, prepare the house for glory. Rewire the house. That means our church as a house and our lives. We need to be rewired, retuned into the things of God. And are we a shadow or a reflection of God on earth so he can fully occupy us? We are given responsibility, or we are responsible for the revelation we've been given. So if you have revelation, then you're responsible for it. And that's an important thing to recognize. A lot of people aren't hearing the things that we're saying, and they're not responsible. Once you hear it, then you're responsible to do something with it. So we have to ask ourselves the question, are we aligned to the revelation that God's already given, and are we acting like the forerunners that he's called us to be? And we have this pattern that is an outworking of this shadow principle. So you have a scroll or a book in heaven which declares what you're called to do. And you could say this for your individual lives and also corporately. Then the Father, Son, and the Spirit, as the bench of three in heaven, actually shine light on that scroll. And on earth, there's a shadow. And therefore, the reflection of the bench of three in heaven needs to be established on earth as a bench of three in our own lives, body, soul, and spirit in unity, but also as a bench of three, as a group of people, three people who come together to administer and to be the foundation on which they release people into filling that shadow. And that's aligned around the four faces of God and the different gates in heaven and different things. And God wants to see, are people shadows, and are people do people and churches have the government of God established so that he can come and work through those churches and people? So we've been looking to raise up a bench of seven, and praise God, we've got one now. Raise up rulers in the heavens to occupy the seven mountains, and now all the seven mountains have got at least one person on them, and several of them more. Establish ministries that are going to enable fast-tracking of people into their inheritance, and looking really to seek for the wisdom where wisdom is in the realms of heaven, and that's a really interesting place. So we have established a bench of three, and that bench of three is there to provide strategic direction and government, to engage the heavenly blueprints and to see those apostolic blueprints outworked on the earth, and to bring judicial authority and to administer righteousness and justice. But also we have a bench of seven, which are responsible for the outworking of the principles I shared earlier, and you would call them traditionally sort of elders, but they are responsible for the administration of the principles that we have here, and then the seven mountains where it's our spheres of government. And then we have a council of 12, which is provides an overall government, like a cabinet, if you like. So God said this: freedom is to be a Sandhurst or a West Point to raise up officers for the next generation, those capable of leading into battle. Officers who understand and outwork the strategy and battle plans must be able to fast-track people. I've given you all the tools of ministry and revelation you need to get people quickly on the right track. And we are outworking that in some of the things we're looking to do on Wednesday evenings to establish ministry and to establish an opportunity for people to be fast-tracked and to learn how to engage in the realms of heaven. Now, ARC, Apostolic Resource Center, is not about a building. It's about a vision that we as a group of people have are to be a center to provide apostolic resources to others in the around the world. And we are beginning to outwork that. We saw that we needed to realign the different parts of the vision. So we have different ministries that we needed to realign and bring under the right government so that we could serve that bit of a vision, remove all the barriers between what we were doing and form a new government to strategically lead that. And we've been working at that over the last year or so to reorganize all the organizations, bring them under new structures. And God said, as I saw this on a scroll, that this was approved, commissioned, and financed. So we need to hold that. So we've formed Freedom Communities. We've realigned our ministries to form Freedom Community Alliance, where the process of FSP and Freedom Communities come together as being unified. And we're also in the process of forming Freedom Apostolic Ministries, which will provide the overall government for everything else. Now, God said that we need to find new ways of ministry, and they need to be experiential. And we've been looking to do that over the last year. So a lot of the teaching and stuff we do comes with exercises and opportunities to experience what is being shared. So new ways of teaching, experiential. Some of the ministry, I think lie busting fits very well into that because it's an experiential ministry. In other words, you actually hear from God and God tells you what the issue is so that you can get free. So you have to be able to hear God and just to know God to be able to do that. New ways of prayer, new ways of interceding, and these are things in terms of the courts of heaven. So we'll understand how to do judicial things in the courts of heaven. New ways of administrating in the kingdom, new ways of partnering with the angelic realm. And I think you can see that some of those things have begun to be outworked in the last year. So God said the new ways we're looking for, and we need to embrace them to enable each of us to be the person that he created us to be and to fulfill our destiny. You know, there's a thing that says, I'm sure it was Einstein who said it. Einstein said a lot of good things. You know, if you always do what you always did, you're always going to get what you always got. So if you want something different, you have to change. You can't stay the same. Now, we're going to be looking to encourage everyone to search their hearts. And this is what we've been doing over the last year. Look at our hearts and see what is there that God wants to change. And ask God, who am I? What am I called to do? And where do I fit? Because God wants us all to fit into his overall plan and purpose. Rick Joyner said this: one of the greatest yokes of bondage enslaving the human race is called the tyranny of the familiar. It is the universal human temptation to cling to the familiar, regardless of how bad or painful it may be, and to resist change, regardless of how promising it may be. Now, some of you guys who are embracing change in your lives, this is something to take hold of. Sometimes even bad things can be familiar and you want to stay there, which doesn't make any logical sense, but actually it's what happens emotionally on the inside of us. And another guy, David Wagner, said, God would rather have you to be an amateur in the new thing than a professional in the old. And God is challenging us to leave behind old ways of thinking, old ways of behavior, to embrace new ways. We've been looking to establish a culture of honor within the framework that we have here and God's given us to respect and value and honor each person. That each person's spiritual and redemptive gifts and calling and destiny is honored. So we're not trying to fit and squeeze everyone into a particular mold. We want to find and help people to be who God's called them to be. And that means there needs to be a commitment to love and openness and honesty. Freedom to be real and permission to go for it. And that means you have permission to make mistakes, because you can't go to new places without the danger or risk of making mistakes. But if we learn from them, then we can grow as a result of them. And so we've been working hard this year to outwork that by finding and giving opportunity to address the problems rather than the person. It's very easy to point the finger at the person, but when you do, there's always three pointing back to you. So it's embracing the principle of looking at the problems that there are and helping each other discover those things and become free of those things to move forward. Now, I went to a mountain and I went to the throne and I went to a place which was a hall of revelation. It was like a training center in heaven. And I encountered wisdom there and she asked me to enroll in courses which would be a revelation of the seven spirits of God. And I sort of have pursued some of that during the year. And God said this, I'm going to release the seven spirits and your assigned counselors to a greater measure to those who will position themselves and take responsibility for seats of government. So the seven spirits of God, as we've sort of encountered recently, are about bringing us into our place of government, the place of authority that we have in our lives. Regardless of what it is, we need to be trained and tutored into it. And actually, God also said, look for the colors and the frequencies that will begin to speak to you more clearly. And again, I think in that whole picture with the flags and the colors and the different things, we've seen that outworked in the year. And we've become, it's become more clear that those colors and those frequencies, that God is engaging us in them. And God again said, prophesy a new season, call it forth, declare it from the heights, proclaim it, blow the trumpet, herald its coming, the opening of a new book, new chapters, new pages, a new level of government, and a new fresh expression of the kingdom. That was the beginning of last year, and I think we've begun to start to see that at work. I saw this picture as a vision when I was standing here one Sunday morning. I saw the four living creatures standing east, south, northwest in the room, and each had a trumpet. Each was heralding a new season. The church angel, Urandiel, was in the middle of the room. With the four faces, and you know, that was something that I saw, and I saw those four living creatures begin to move, and it was like a new dimension was started, and I think we've started to see that outworked. And basically, Winds of Change, one of the angels, was assigned to administer that whole process of bringing us into a new season. And then we shared the angelic memo of four angels, transformation, finding fire, winds of change, sand of many waters. And again, we've engaged with them in the last year. Also, we've been given two fiery scrolls, one for the harvest and one for the Joshua generation, which as a council of 12, we accepted responsibility for during the year. And therefore, God holds us accountable to ensure that we're ready for the harvest that's coming and that we're ready to raise up and equip the Joshua generation. Again, release the sound, blow the trumpet, herald a new season, sound the alarm, muster the troops, let sound reverberate and resonate and draw people. And God is sending out a sound from heaven that's drawing people to him and to his purposes. And some of you are here as a direct result of that. Let the lion release his roar, let the eagle soar, let the ox snort, and let the man cry out. And there's something about what the four faces of God, or those four ministry areas, does that we're beginning to get a handle on and starting to engage with. Again, this was about ending the old. It's time to end the old. The fruit of that season of the old things has ended, both good and old things and bad old things. Blueprints must be clearly established as the foundations and the maps to direct you in the seasons ahead. And we shared that apostolic blueprint. So that shares the mountains, our ministries, the different governmental things that are there. And we've gone through this, and I go through that in detail in the stuff I shared last year. But we've this year been looking to outwork that. So we've been looking to establish the seven mountains, ensure that apostolic government is releasing the ministry of the four faces of God amongst us. And I think we're, again, starting to really see that function. Again, it was about proclaiming and heralding a new day, a new season, new depths, new heights, new doors, new chapters will be opened, become accessible. You have a year of preparation before the release of the hunter and gathering angels will be fully authorized. Make everything ready and be expectant with fear and trembling. Now, I don't think we're totally ready for that. So we need to make sure that we get this sorted quickly, because God wants to release those angels to bring in the beginnings of the harvest. Government is the key to successfully rewiring the house and preparing it for glory. This is what God said. You must be one heart, one mind, one purpose for the full mandates to be released, for the full dimensions of your heavenly and earthly authority to be unveiled. And that's what we've been looking to do as leaders, to come into a place of being one heart and one mind and one purpose. And I would say that where we are now is 100% different from where we were at the beginning of the year, because we've worked through that culture of honor, of establishing that. We've, some of the things have been shaken, and we've been coming into a whole new realm of that. Government must be in place, and a council must be functioning effectively, ruling the house and taking charge of the courts. We're just beginning to learn how to do this. We're doing court cases on behalf of people, on behalf of the church, on behalf of different things, learning how to take charge of the heavenly protocols to establish things on earth. I told you to prepare the house for glory. All you've done up to now is laying in the foundations. This was at the beginning of last year. Now I believe we've actually built on those foundations and we've got some things in place. As God said, now you must build on that blueprint. Now, last December, again, God said, focus on the 3 and the 7 and the 12. And for me, it was like taking those into my heart and nurturing them and beginning to help raise up people into lordship and kingship. And during the year, actually, we have had, in terms of our leadership, a sort of mentoring time when we practice engaging in heaven, engaging in certain things, so that this can be outworked. And we've embraced that. I will release the scrolls and mandates necessary to rule effectively and establish the ministries that are destined to be released from the mountains. Now, we're in the middle of that right now. They must be willing to step up to their thrones and take responsibility for the authority I'm willing to release to them. And that's calling for those who should be on the 7 mountains. This was at the beginning of last year. Now we have people on those mountains. So this is being outworked as we speak. So God was going to call people and draw them to the vision so that they can be released to us. And I believe God is drawing people who have a heart for what we're doing. Now, the reality is we must occupy our authority on the mountains of heaven so that the power and resources will be released. And I think once we have got all our mountains fully occupied, we're going to see a whole load of change in that come. It says, I am calling for lords to come forth, to step out, take their responsible positions. I will release the scrolls for the mountains of the church, the ARC, and the region, to take the position of the realms of the kingdom of heaven. See, there is governmental authority that God is releasing, because we have a wider call than just the church. And we've seen those mountains, good news, freedom, health, harmony, blessing, media, and enterprise. Nigel's going to be doing enterprise next week, which will be excellent. So I'm raising up those who are hearing the sound in all its colors, shapes, symbols, numbers, and formulas. And I think we've begun to capture something of that sound and be drawn to the colors and the shapes. And I shared last week about the different shapes of the things that we're engaging in. And this is a whole new order. You know, it's the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a kingly priest who operated in the realms of heaven, not an earthly priest. That old earthly priestly order has come to an end, and God wants to establish a new heavenly order that we can live in heaven and on earth in those dual realms. And this is what God said, the realms of my kingdom will become more clear and overshadow your gatherings. Be sensitive to their appearing. Look carefully for signs, colors, frequencies of their coming. They will tutor the surrender to a deeper dimensions of the kingdom. And I believe that is what's happened. We've seen an overshadowing of our meetings and an opening of heaven and an overlap between heaven and earth, where the colors and I think the flags and the banners and the different movements have really started to open something up, where that whole connection between the four angels, the four living creatures, has become something that we can engage in. And we looked at that a couple weeks ago. Now, one of the things that God said again is, if you pursue wisdom faithfully, and wisdom is an angelic being that lives on wisdom's heights, her rewards will be great. Access to ancient paths, ancient doors, and ancient knowledge will be released. Portals will be opened, and travel in time and space will have an important part to play in establishing the ARC, places of refuge that will be needed for the time ahead. And actually, we've actually had testimonies of people who've been standing here during the worship and have been translated to other parts of the world. I'm not sure whether there are other time, but certainly in other time places of space, and ministered to people in the realm of the spirit. And those people saw them. So God has opened this up. So prophetically, this was released at the beginning of last year, and actually we've actually started to see this. Personally, I've engaged this a few times. Once, where it was like I was just taken 5-6 miles up the road, car and all, and just transported. And once where I went in the spirit into someone's hospital room and prayed for them, ministered to them. And it's something that God is opening up for us. Now, last 31st of December, God said this, before the court of war, and I came to the court of war, and I presented a scroll, which was a strategy. And it was like, blow the trumpet, herald the new season, call forth destiny for my people. It is their destiny to engage with the deeper levels of revelation knowledge that is open to them. And that is what God is calling us to. He's still calling us to that, deeper and deeper into him. Deeper experiences of his love, his acceptance, but deeper revelation of his plans and purposes. Going back into eternity and engaging with what it was. And I went to God's garden, and there was a mountain, a golden mountain in the garden of God. And I went to the top of that mountain, I met Metatron. Now, I had no idea of Metatron's cube and all that stuff at that point. But I met Metatron, who is the chief angel of the Order of the Chaos, the living creatures, which includes fiery swords and fiery whirlwinds and all sorts of stuff. And he gave me a golden key to open up the realms of heaven for those who are truly hungry and seeking. And all year, you know, I've sort of had, I think, 20-odd mentoring sessions at the beginning of the year, and now there's like 250-odd mentoring sessions that I've done around the world using that golden key to open up the realms of heaven for people to experience, because they're hungry people. They wouldn't be connecting up all over the world if they weren't hungry. And God has opened that, and people have gone to all sorts of amazing places as a result of that. And it says you must use the golden key to lead people into the realms of heaven, until they're able to engage with wisdom where the paths meet and the doors will be open to them. There's a process to follow, a strategy to be revealed. And that strategy was about the 3 and the 7 and the 12 and the removing of that rotten fruit. And that's happened. We've seen that outworked. So one was present the vision and unveil the full picture. That was 9 weeks or so, beginning of last year, develop the two pathways, which is what we've been doing ever since in terms of these pathways of relationship and responsibility. Establish the equipping track. So we're beginning to look at how to do that on our Wednesday nights. And this is something we haven't done, and we're going to do this in the coming year. Unveil the four chambers, the garden, the dance hall, the soaking room, which are areas of engagement within our heart to come under a marriage or the hooper, the covering of the sound of heaven. And so there will be a way which we outwork this in the coming year. 5, engage new sounds, new frequencies that I'm releasing from heaven. Restoration sounds of the key of David and the tabernacle of David, which is all about our worship and how we engage God in those places of worship, which is will open up doors and keys into different realms. Engage the 7 spirits of God, which we've done. 12 counselors, which are 12 of the men in white linen. And there's been a degree of connection with them. Align yourself with the 4 faces of God and the 4 living creatures. Well, we've done that and we're doing that. And that whole scroll was sealed with the lion, ox, and the eagle and approved for action. And then we agreed it amongst us so that we could outwork it. Now, that whole scroll of destiny, for me, I saw my old scroll, a globe, the world. And I saw that globe was like all sorts of the benches of 3, all over the globe, bends of 3. And they were, the whole world was spinning clockwise, and then it stopped and began to spin anti-clockwise. And I saw all sorts of arrows flying over the world. Now, for the whole year, I've been looking governmentally to see benches of 3 established. And I've been able to be involved. It's a privilege to be involved in helping people establish Benches of Three. We're establishing one locally here, but I've been involved in about eight to ten other Benches of Three established along different parallels, along in different cities, in different areas, amongst churches, which has been great. As a result of looking to establish those two pathways, and that's a manual that I've been developing for people, engaging God on the heavenly pathways of relationship and responsibility, in June I recruited an alpha test group for that. Now, my intention was to recruit 8 to 15 people for a couple of groups, but there was such a demand, Sam is nodding there because he was the one who had to pull together all the groups, there ended up about 200 people from time zone plus 10 to minus 8. So it's a huge area of people that people have gathered because they're so hungry to engage God. 200 people, we launched that in August. So far we've done two modules. And in January I'm going to start 20 new mentoring groups with those 200 people so that we can begin then to recruit a beta group next year. So each of those 200 will have an opportunity of recruiting others. So we can actually expand our reach of being able to engage people, equip people in that whole Joshua generation as mentors. We're also starting a new leaders group in transition. Those who are leaders of churches or groups who are looking to transition and are struggling because it's not easy. You know, we've found it really quite difficult to embrace these whole new principles in government. There's a lot of opposition that comes against you. You have to be willing to push through. So we're going to start a whole leadership group for that in this coming year. So in a sense now, I've been working with 18 groups in a wider sense from USA, Canada and Europe. And one of those groups has actually planted a church and started a church under these principles, and it's been great working with them. The YouTube channel with the has gone from 200 subscribers to 1,347 subscribers. So there's been a whole increase in people wanting to hear and get hold of that. I had, as I said, 25 videos, now there's 250. Basically, those 25 at the beginning of the year, there was about 7,000 views of that. Now there's 115,000 views. And 1,770,000 minutes of viewing time. It's amazing what you can get off Google Analytics. But a lot of people are watching a lot of the material that we've been blessed with, and it's showing that we have this wider sphere of equipping and helping people. Google Plus followers have doubled. You know, I started a Facebook page, a Facebook profile anyway, for this stuff, and that's now got 1,344 friends. Fortunately, I don't contact them all the time. I just use it for posting the material. But again, it's opening up an opportunity of connecting with people around the world. Our blog views have gone from 46,733 last year to 271,079 as of yesterday. That's a whole massive increase in a year of people who are reading the material that Jeremy produces from the series that we've done of teaching. And it's great, you know. And of all that, you know, of all those 271,000, there has been hardly any negative things, which is absolutely amazing. You know, and again, in the 100,000 views of Facebook and things, there's very little negativity because people are hungry and want to engage. You know, we've had a major increase in our resources, site and website views for the church. You know, that's the resource website increase in the year. You can see the number of people that are increased. We changed the church website and produced a new one, thanks to Jeremy and Sam, who've done that. And again, that is now starting to increase. And that's gone from about 5,000 page views to a month to about 40,000 or 17,000 in December. So it's a lot of increase in what we're doing. I would encourage you individually to review the year for your own life. You know, what has God said to you during the year? What has he done in this year? Some of you may not have even known him at the beginning of the year, but at the end of the year, you've got a relationship with him. You know, what is God saying and what does he want to do? What is he calling you to for 2015? It's a new year, actually, what is he wanting you to embrace? I'm sure he doesn't want you to stay as you are, because we're supposed to increase in the glory of God and become more like Jesus all the time. So that means change and transformation. So to be ready for change, you have to let go of the old and embrace the new. For all of us. You know, even the good things can be the enemy of the best things if we don't let go of them. Because we can become comfortable and familiar with the good and miss the best. And God wants us to fulfill our destiny, so we have to be willing to let go. Embrace the new sound of heaven and resonate with it. Come into agreement. Come into alignment with heaven. Hope is the ability to hear the music of tomorrow. And I want you to think about that. What's the music of tomorrow that's going to bring you into the fulfillment of the vision that God has for you for your life? Faith is the courage to dance to it today. It's very poetic. I'm not sure it could have come from me. I must have found it somewhere. But think about that. Hope is the ability to hear the music of tomorrow. Faith is the courage to dance to it today. To go for it. The end of the old and the beginning of a new year. In old things, let go of them. New things, embrace them. And I want to run through these to finish with and encourage you to think about them. If you are holding on to something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let it go. If you're still affected by disappointments or discouragement, let it go. If you're still affected by being rejected, unsupported, undervalued, or ignored, let it go. If people have made you feel insignificant, unaccepted, or unappreciated, let it go. How do you let it go? You forgive those people and release them. If you're still demotivated by your past failures and others' bad treatment of you, let it go. If your past is still negatively affecting your present and clouding your future, let it go. If you are demotivated by unfulfilled dreams, visions, or expectations, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or an addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. Some of you have done that in this last year. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to get you to a new level in Him, then let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to get help, trying to help someone who won't even help themselves, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. Your sinful nature, let it go. Been dealt with on the cross, just let it go. Your iniquitous patterns, let them go. This is all the process of transformation. If you have things within your DNA, let them go. Negative bloodline influences, genetic seed line records, just let it go. Whole process of restoration there, bringing us into the new, you have to deal with the old and let it go. If you have a slave identity, then let it go, because you're a son. If you're a slavery mindset, let it go. Your old religious mindsets, let them go. Your old earthly methods, let it go. Your own cynicism, skepticism, criticism, and judgmentalism, let it go. Why would you want to take that stuff into the new year? Embrace something new. So, if you're feeling depressed and stressed, I know it's Christmas, but let it go. If there's a particular situation that you're used to handling yourself and God's saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let go of the past. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God's going to do a new thing in 2014 and 2015. Let it go. You know, the battle belongs to the Lord. We just have to let him win it for us. So, 2015. Your identity in God, grab hold of it. Get hold of who you are. Your destiny in God, grab hold of it. Who you are in Christ, grab hold of it. The plan and purpose for your life, grab hold of it. Your inheritance in God, grab hold of it. Your spiritual gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, your blessing, your forgiveness, your healing, your peace, grab hold of it. Get hold of what belongs to you. Your joy, your access to God, your debt cancellation, your financial blessing. Grab hold of it. It's your inheritance. Your breakthrough in God, your relationship with God, your intimacy, your anointing with the Holy Spirit. Grab hold of it. God's love for you. Grab hold of it. Don't be robbed. Get everything that belongs to you. Your heavenly encounters, your heavenly mountain thrones, your kingdom authority, your access to the heavenly courts. Grab hold of them. Get hold of what belongs to you. Embrace what God has for you. Your identity as lords, your identity as kings, your identity as sons. Just grab hold of all those things because they belong to you, but you have to take them. Gifts have to be received. And if you don't receive them, they just remain unopened and unused. Everything that God has for you, all that He's designed for you, is there for you to take hold of. The choice to hold it, onto it, or let it go is yours. The choice to embrace the new is yours. Question is, will you embrace it? God's desire for this new year is that we enter into a whole different realm and dimension of His kingdom. There's a major shift coming in the realms of heaven. It's being prepared right now that's going to have a major impact and a shaking of the world systems. We have to be ready. To be ready, we need to embrace the new and let go of the old. Every one of us has an opportunity of a new beginning every day in our lives. Don't let the past rob you of your future. Embrace what God says. Who you are, your identity as sons of God. Embrace it. The new year is full of potential and hope. Embrace it. Amen.